Everyone, rich, poor, everyone, great, small, will stand before the judgment seat, and they will give an account to God for whether or not they received Jesus Christ as Savior. And so the wise man says, you know what? I'm going to choose character over prosperity. You know what? I'm going to choose a right relationship with God over trying to seek status in this life.
Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. We're about ready to go into one of the services here at Lancaster Baptist and open God's infallible word. And I thank you for taking time to grow in your walk with Christ as we enjoy this service together. It's our prayer that today's podcast will meet a need in your life. Let us know how God's working in your life and stay in touch with us at lancasterbaptist.org. Thanks again for joining us today. May God richly bless you. Now let's go to the Word of God.
Perhaps you saw it this past week in the news story about a tremendously talented young man, the quarterback of the, I believe it was the Ravens. The Ravens, Brother Furso, help me out here. What's that? Titans, Ravens, 49ers, Oakland. They're all about the same now to me. And the Titans and the Tennessee Titans, McNair, the quarterback. And you perhaps heard that he was murdered a few days ago in his girlfriend's apartment. And a tragedy indeed. And the headline in USA Today, however, caught my attention. I want you to see it. Slaying brings McNair's other life to light. Slaying brings McNair's other life to light. And this Sunday, I'll celebrate 23 years of ministry, and I'm sad to say that I've pastored at times people with two lives. People who were in church on Sunday and even cleaned up fairly well, but when they are in their other moments and in their other places, they're another person. Two lives. I wonder tonight, when you stop to think about your life, is it a life of integrity, meaning one piece, one moving life for the glory of God? Or is it two lives? The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Apparently, Mr. McNair had, on the one hand, a beautiful wife and four children, a nice home he gave to charity. He was well-known and loved by his fellow players. But there was another life. It was the nightlife. It was the club life. It was the life of adultery and immorality. The life of drink, and the life that ultimately cost him his life. Tonight I want to challenge you to live your life with one goal, and that is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps people could legitimately tonight say of someone in this room, he is a hypocrite. He goes to that church, she goes to that church, but give them a few days and they'll be at some other place doing such and so. I want to challenge you from this moment on, by the grace of God, to live your life in such a way that it is a consistent witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not right to curse at God's house. It's not right to curse anywhere else. And so the list could go on. And tonight we're going to learn about this matter of verse number one, having a good name. And by the way, thank God for His grace, because no matter where you've been or what you've done, you can begin living tonight with a good name. Because God loves you and He'll forgive you, but you must determine to do so. A good name is a great price to God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, rather, in verse 7, that a man of God is to have a good report. And God wants the men of this church and the ladies of this church and the teenagers of this church, the pastor of this church, the church as a whole, to have a name that is honoring to Him. It's not that we want to pat ourselves on the back and say, well, I think I'm a pretty good guy. No, no. Whatever praise would come to us, then we always give God the glory for that. And that's the reason tonight. Teenagers tonight, there are many Christian teenagers who they go to church and they know how to sit, they know how to look, they know how to go along with the motions, but then when they get to the mall or to the neighborhood or some other place, they have that other life. It's a duplicitous lifestyle. It's not a consistent life of integrity. How do you have a life of spiritual integrity? I want to speak to you about that tonight. Number one, if you'll notice in our text tonight, we must choose the right priorities. Every man, woman, boy, and girl must choose what they're living for. What are our priorities in life? And notice the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So we are challenged immediately to choose character over prosperity. Choose character over prosperity. God says the most important thing in your life is your name. And it seems as though the devil often tries to fight against the name of a good Christian or a good ministry. And yet, someone who consistently lives for the Lord, someone who consistently witnesses for Christ and follows the Word of God, will have a good name. And I just want to say tonight, whether it's in our witness, whether it's in our personal testimony, whether it is in the things we abstain from, the faithfulness to the Lord in church, we all should say, more than anything else in life, I want to have a good name. I mean tonight, more than wealth, what a blessed thing to have your children say, he's a good dad, she's a good mom, he's a good man, she's a godly woman. And I trust that's your heart tonight, that you'd say, you know what, more than climbing the ladder at work, more than getting the next job, more than making the next dollar, I want to have a testimony that's honorable before my God. And we could name so many names tonight. The name Bernie Madoff comes to mind. Billions of dollars. He had riches untold, but he just began to serve two life sentences because he chose riches rather than a good name. We have many men in this area who work in aerospace, and I'm thankful for them, and I'm thankful for the fact that we have a country that is raising up the right weaponry to bring peace and stability in the world. But one of the things that always amazes me is the fact that when men are interviewed for these jobs, they have to many times check their credit reports, and they check many times their financial background, because they don't want someone put in a position who could be easily tempted by the enemy. They want someone who has some balance and some discipline in their life concerning the matter of how they operate even their finances, so that they'll not be put in that place of temptation, so that their name will not be ruined. If you're going to have a good reputation, you must choose character over prosperity. And then secondly, we must choose godliness over status. Godliness over status. Notice verse 2, if you would. In the Bible it says, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is maker of them all. Now the lesson in verse 2 is a wonderful lesson. And it simply tells us that the rich and the poor are exactly the same in God's eyes. We are all sinners. We all have a human nature. We can only be saved by faith through Jesus Christ. And one day the rich, the poor, the strong, and the weak will all stand before the great white throne judgment of God. And a wise person chooses God and godliness over status. If we think that our importance is based upon what we have or where we work, and some of our men, I've prayed for several today, several times for employment, and so forth. And some of those men in our church right now that are unemployed have said to me in the last 24 hours, three men have said to me, Pastor, I have never been closer to God. God is speaking to my heart. God's doing something in me. And I just praise the Lord for that. I pray for their employment, for God's financial blessing upon their life. It's no sin to be financially blessed. But the fact that God is so greatly at work in their heart is such a blessing, because that is ultimately what matters most. And our worth must never be derived from what we have or obtain, but we must always glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must always choose godliness over status. And this is what verse 2 is speaking about. The rich and the poor will meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Revelation 20:11 says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know what God's word says? When it comes to the end of life, it will not matter one iota how much money you had in the bank. Everyone, rich, poor, everyone great, small, will stand before the judgment seat, and they will give an account to God for whether or not they received Jesus Christ as Savior. And so the wise man says, you know what? I'm going to choose character over prosperity. You know what? I'm going to choose a right relationship with God over trying to seek status in this life. I want to be a man of God. And I just thank the Lord for young people in this church who are getting that as their priority, and moms and dads who are training in that area. Choosing the right priority is where it all begins. And you see, the Bible says we're to consider the end of the thing. And so if we look down through life and we say, at the end of life, what I want more than anything is a good name. What I want more than anything is to stand before the Lord saved and having lived a good life for Him. If that's your goal, then you begin choosing priorities right now to help you get to that goal. And you live daily with that goal in mind so that when you stand before the Lord, you'll do it with joy and not with grief. And so a good name begins with choosing right priorities. Notice secondly tonight, it is also made by developing the right perception. Developing the right perception. On your way to a good name, the devil's going to throw a lot of traps. The devil doesn't want a teenager that has a good name. We had a pastor today who wrote a letter to one of our staff men and said, I've already got my eye on one of your teenagers. He seems like the kind of a kid that we could use someday in ministry. Isn't that amazing? That young man has a good name. Already, people are noticing that his life is a life of distinction. Now, some people bloom a little later. I understand that. And some people may look a little better, and then later on they have more development. But the point is this. Teenagers, God wants you to have a good name. The Bible says of a deacon that if he uses the office well, he purchases to himself a good degree or reputation. It's an opportunity to have a good name for the Lord Jesus Christ. A pastor, about all you really have as a pastor is your name. That's why it's so very hurtful when there are slanderous things said about men of God, because in this day and age, something doesn't even have to be true. It's just said, and all of a sudden it's hurtful. And many times you have to try to say, whoa, let's deal with that. And we see that in public life. There's a lot of difficulty. But the fact is that with your name, there's nothing more important with your witness as a Christian than your name. You want to have a good testimony so you can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil doesn't want you to have a good name. So the devil's going to do everything he can to trip you up, to take you down. Because if he can do that, then he can discredit your witness for Jesus. And if he can label you as an hypocrite in the eyes of those that you'd like to witness to, then it's less of a witness opportunity. And so you must have perception as you go through your life. Notice verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth evil. All right? We're on a journey tonight. We're journeying towards a good reputation. And we've already decided, we've already chosen our priority. I want a good name. All right? So a prudent man foreseeth evil. This man that wants a good testimony and a good name, he's guarding now. He's watching now his step. He's walking circumspectly. He's a teenager that doesn't go anywhere or listen to just anything. He's a fella that after work is careful where he goes and what he does, because he's guarding his name. He's perceptive. Notice letter A, he's foreseeing evil. The Bible says here he is a prudent man. The word prudent means he's sensible. It means he's shrewd. It means he's very, very careful. And he exercises sound judgment. The Bible speaks of this man in Ephesians 5:8. For we were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are in light. Walk as children of the light. And the Bible goes on to speak about this man in verse number 9. It says, we are to walk with a foreseeing walk, a perceptive walk. And we do that, number one, because we are saved people. And we are proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. As a Christian, we're going to walk according to the light of the Word of God. We also have an ability to foresee because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives discernment to a Christian. The Holy Spirit says yes, no. The Holy Spirit pulls us back from making a wrong mistake. Our discernment is guided by the Holy Spirit of God each and every step of the way. Notice, if you would, there in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 9 again, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Do you see that there in verse 10? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Let's say that together. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So the saved man who has the Holy Spirit is able to say, you know what, I don't think I should watch this. I don't think I should do that because it might hurt my name, my testimony. And I have to be proving what is acceptable. Not only does he possess the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit grants wisdom to the Christian. Now, how many of you have had the offering of wisdom from the Holy Spirit, but you haven't always taken up the offer of his wisdom? Maybe the Lord has said, you should witness, or you should refrain from talking about that, or you should do this or that. You should not be alone in that situation with a woman. Maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about these different things, and all of a sudden, you found yourself just overriding and perhaps saying certain things or doing certain things or getting into a situation you didn't mean to get into. And I'm simply saying, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, but we also have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And notice what it says in Ephesians 5:15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as," what does it say? "Fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So, the perception that we have is to foresee evil. We're not going to be unwise. We're going to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. We're walking circumspectly. We're testing and trying the spirits to be sure that they are of God. And there's so many illustrations tonight. Not every Christian Bible study is going to be doctrinally sound, and you must try that to make sure that it's right. Not every opportunity equals obligation. Just because there's a door open doesn't mean you have to walk through it. How many of you have learned the devil can open doors? So we want to know that God is opening that door. And we want to foresee the evil. We want God to help us, because our ultimate goal is to have a good name and a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, if we're going to develop the right perception, we must forsake the way of the simple. Forsake the way of the simple. Now, would you all look at verse 3, because this is a fantastic verse. And it says, "A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." All right? The prudent man, this man with perception, he says, you know what, I don't think I should do that. I'm not going to go there. All right? But the simple man says, oh, hey, come on, it's going to be fun, come on. And the simple man, normally, it's all about fun. You know, he's a stand-up comedian, everything in life's a joke, everything's funny, and he's just simple. And most people who are of this mindset feel that the pastor or the youth pastor or their parents are just a little too strict anyways. And come on, let's just go have some fun. By the way, many of the simple men are like Mr. McNair. They're living another life. And if you're going to have a life of integrity, you're going to learn to have wisdom and not be so simple in your decision-making process. Life is an obstacle course, and the Bible is your guide to success. And a simple man disregards the teaching of the Word of God. The Bible says, for example, in Proverbs chapter 9, "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not the dead that are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." The Bible says this woman of ill repute is beckoning simple young men, and they don't recognize that her bed is the bed of death. It is literally the bed of death. And we must recognize tonight, the simple will not hear the warning of God, and their way is the way of death. Look at verse 3. "The simple pass on and are," what does the next word say? "Punished." Proverbs 14, 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Proverbs 19, 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. All right, let's say that together. Making wise. So God says, I want my people to be wise. I want to help everyone to have wisdom in making the right decisions, all right? And so we come to this place in our life where we say, Lord, I want to choose the right direction, and I need you to help me with the right perception so that I don't stumble one way or the other. And the ultimate goal is to have the right name and the right testimony. And then notice, thirdly tonight, we must be keeping the right perspective, keeping the right perspective. On this journey to a good name, we want to keep the right perspective. I think of some men tonight who, in my estimation, are men that had a good name. And I think of men in ministry. Those are the men that I've studied. And I'll just use, for example, tonight the name of Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Robertson, the last note he wrote to me is under the glass on top of my desk. And he wrote it when he was 94 years old. And it says, Brother Chapel, you were involved in the greatest occupation in life, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. 94 years old, he was keeping the main thing the main thing. Along the pathway of his life, no doubt, he had many different obstacles and challenges, but somehow for all those years into his 90s, he never lost sight of living for the Lord and glorifying God and living a life of integrity, a life with a heavenly perspective. So notice the right perspective, letter A, is our heavenly perspective. We always want to keep that perspective. Verse 4 says this, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. All right, everybody have that there? Let's look at that. Look at your Bible. If you're husband, wife, look at a Bible together. And let's read verse 4 together, because this is a great verse. And I want to make sure everybody has it. I want to be patient. I'm trying to be slow right now. And does everybody have it? All right, good. Let's read verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now, do you know the fact that you might be in a waiting mode in your life right now does not mean that God is done blessing you? Some of you men that have said, you know what, God's getting a hold of my heart right now, and I'm getting closer to God than ever. And you may see some dwindling of some resources, but I truly believe this. If you keep that heart for God, when you re-engage into whatever God has for you next, I really believe God's going to bless you. Because it's by that kind of a heart that God can bless. It's that kind of a man that God wants to bless. It's that kind of a man, the Bible says, that fears him, that he gives riches, honor, and life to that man. So we must keep a heavenly perspective. We must walk humbly before the Lord. Many times, I have seen good Christian people get involved in various types of sales meetings and various types of organizations where God's name is used and Jesus is talked about, and we want to make a lot of money so that we can, you know, further good causes. And I can't question their heart in saying that. But oftentimes, it is not an attitude of true humility. It's more of a flash. It's more of a material side that's being elevated. It's more of the success and materialism that's being elevated and talking about what's been purchased and what's been had and all this type of thing. And I just want to say tonight that may work for a season, but God's plan is verse 4. We must have humility. We must have the fear of the Lord. In other words, if God does truly bless a spiritual man, He's more likely not to talk about it a lot. He's more likely not to be boastful in it. He's more likely to quietly keep working and honor the Lord as the Lord honors him. And the Bible says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So number one, if you're going to have a heavenly perspective, you must have a right attitude. Keep the attitude of humility. When our attitude is right with God, the outcome will be right also. Secondly, there will be a right result. The right result is mentioned there, riches, honor, and life. And notice in your notes, in Colossians 3, do you have Colossians 3:2 there? Notice what it says. Set your affection on things where? Above, and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So long as your perspective is heavenly, you are in a good position for God to keep blessing you. And when we begin to focus merely on the material and what we can get and have and all these things that we can do, we begin to hinder and limit God's desire, not his ability, but his desire to bless. And God is looking for men who will honor him, and then he will honor us. Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift us up. So along the way to the journey of a good name, we want to keep a right perspective. It's always heavenly. It's always for the glory of God. And when we get blessed, we always want to bless the Lord and thank the Lord. And we want to keep that perspective all the days of our life, okay? And then notice, secondly, our earthly perspective. If you have a heavenly perspective, it affects the way you look at the earthly things. So notice this, if you would, in verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Now, the earthly perspective is this. I, as a Christian, have a heavenly goal. I've set my affection on the things of the Lord. I want to walk humbly and in the fear of the Lord. And as he blesses me with riches, honor, and life, I want to keep honoring him and keep honoring him because it's all about him. And then, because I have this heavenly perspective, notice what your attitude is going to be towards those that are all about the material. Notice that in verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. You're going to say, you know, the man that is froward or proud is just going to bring trouble to himself. And so I want to avoid that attitude in my life. I want to humble myself before the Lord. I want to avoid that proud attitude in my life. Now, pride is a sin that every one of us face. If you have marital trouble, pride is the issue. If you have problem with other people, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. Pride is at the root of every sin. But this froward man is a man, according to the Word of God, that's bringing snares to himself. Psalm 11:6. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. And so notice it says in verse 5b, he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. And let me just simply say it this way. God says, if you will guard your heart, you will stay away from people that are filled with pride. Okay? So listen, as the Lord blesses you, always remember to honor him. Be humble about it. Thank him. Honor him in tithes and offerings. And find yourself always giving to the Lord praise, honor, song, offering, giving him your whole life because you want the name, your name, to be a name that brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it says, he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them, it is speaking about the one who guards his heart. Sometimes the word soul and heart are used interchangeably. And if you're a discerning man foreseeing the evil and you're guarding your heart, you're going to stay away from that one who has the attitude, look what I did, it's all about me, look what I have, you could have it too if you're as good as me. You're going to stay away from that attitude and you're going to always deflect the honor and the praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's the question tonight. Do you want to have a good name? Do you want to have a godly reputation? Let's start back at verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than what? Great riches. Moms and dads, would we want at our funeral service someone to say, this guy was a jerk of a husband, he was a lousy dad, he was a terrible friend, but he sure made a lot of money. Remember I said consider the end, right? Or do we want someone to be able to say, you know what? This man loved Jesus. This man witnessed for Jesus. This man loved his family. This man was faithful in church. This man was an encourager. And I'm going to tell you something. At the end of life, it is not going to matter how much we had. It's going to matter how much we lived for Jesus. And that's what this is all about tonight. And I challenge you tonight to live a life of integrity. Slaying brings McNair's other life to light. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. How can I have that life that has the right testimony and the right name? I must make heavenly priorities my priorities. I must have perception along the way of my journey. And I must keep that heavenly perspective at the beginning and at the end if I'm going to please the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word. 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.